Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm a peacock! You gotta let me fly!
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Carson Wentz here on The Rich Eisen Show.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It just says ankle. It no longer is plural.
He's gonna throw it way downfield. Michael Pippen, he catches it!
The Rich Eisen Show.
Calais Campbell on The Rich Eisen Show.
All I can do is take advantage of the moment in front of you.
Hard game over!
Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Coming up, ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst, Steelers wide receiver Chase Claypool. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Our number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and as I came on the air about an hour ago, in case you missed it, I said everything's happening in sports at once, and in case you missed it, I did not say hello to TJ Jefferson, so normally I start with Brockman when I say hello at the top of an hour. Hi, TJ Jefferson, how are you?
Hey,
everything good over there?
Hey. No complaints.
Okay, very good.
Good talking to you.
thank you very much. Brockman and Del Tufo are in their usual spots right there. And, you know, as if we didn't have enough to talk about with the Ravens' remarkable overtime comeback, 19-point comeback win against the Ravens, against the Colts in overtime last night, during which it was announced that John Gruden was resigning from his post for the Las Vegas Raiders. Then there's everything going on in the NBA right now, including today the Brooklyn Nets sending out a statement that Kyrie Irving will not play for the team as long as he remains unvaccinated. They don't use the word vaccine in any of their statement. I'll read the statement to you. Given the evolving nature of the situation and after thorough deliberation, we have decided Kyrie Irving will not play or participate with the team until he's eligible to be a full participant. Kyrie has made a personal choice, and we respect his individual right to choose. Currently, the choice restricts his ability to be a full-time member of the team, and we will not permit any member of our team to participate with part-time availability. And it goes on about the importance of chemistry as a team being built and remain true to our long-established goals of togetherness and sacrifice. Joining us here to discuss this, as well as Ben Simmons' return to the Philadelphia 76ers, is one of the best in the business from the worldwide leader in sports, Brian Windhorst, here on The Rich Eisen Show. Well, how are you, Brian?
Hi, Rich.
Let's start with this. Are you surprised by the Nets telling Kyrie we won't even play you on the road? You surprised about that one?
No, they pretty much moved in that direction last week. So to give you a brief timeline, The rule was passed, the law was passed by the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio. They knew there was a problem. And by the way, from what I understand, there was a handful of players on the Knicks and Nets who were unvaccinated when this law came down in August. And everybody knew this was a problem. They worked on it for weeks. Every other player for the Knicks or Nets got vaccinated by the opening of training camp except for Kyrie. Kyrie said, and everybody said, it's not going to be a problem. Don't worry about it. Actually, Kyrie said, privacy. They go out to San Diego, Kyrie's able to do training camp. They have a meeting at Joe Tsai, their billionaire owner's home in La Jolla. Joe Tsai is very publicly pro-vaccine. He had Kyrie at his house. I'm sure the message was sent. Kyrie came back to New York and did not get vaccinated. And so then they first said, Kyrie, we're not going to move our practices. You can't practice with us. Kyrie still did not get vaccinated. Then they said, Kyrie, we don't think that we're going to necessarily be able to play you in away games, even though that's allowed, unless you get vaccinated. Kyrie still didn't get vaccinated. And after three bites of the apple, Kyrie Irving struck out, and they said, we're moving on without you. Now, he obviously could end this today, tomorrow, whenever. He only needs to get one shot to satisfy the rule. But it is an untenable situation to play in the NBA where you can't have a guy play with you on a regular basis, especially when you have long homestands. The second week of the season, the Nets start a six-game homestand. How are you not going to play with somebody for six games and then bring him back for the seventh? And so they just pulled the plug on it.
So do we know, and I'm going to ask you a question about you knowing what's in Kyrie's mind, do we know if it is something that he has legitimately researched and feels that the vaccine is dangerous for him, or there is some sort of belief system that it's against that belief system, or is it now just, I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do, I've got enough money, or I've got enough pride, I'm a prideful man, nobody's telling me what to do in this world. What is it? Do we know?
I'm sure that some of it, I won't speak for Kyrie, but I will say this. There's a point in Kyrie's career where he broke his kneecap, and he had surgery where they put some hardware into his knee, some screws, I believe. And those screws later became infected, and he had to have surgery to take them out, and he got this infection. I don't remember the exact type of infection. I don't want to misspeak, but he ended up having to get treated for this very serious infection for a long time. And so after somebody would go through something like that, I would understand that you would raise your level of concern and awareness of what goes into your body. So I definitely agree that Kyrie probably has a different worldview than the average person on the street. Having said that, he understands that if he doesn't get vaccinated, he can't play. It was made crystal clear to him. Hundreds of other NBA players were presented with the same situation. All the other players in New York were presented with the same situation. They said, I have to do this to play for my team. If you look at this Nets roster, Rich, it's a whole bunch of veteran guys who came there to win a championship. Obviously, Durant and Harden, but a bunch of guys who gave up money elsewhere to come play there. Guys in their 30s, this is their last chance. Paul Millsap, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, James Johnson. I could go on. And they're there, and they're like, we're going to try to do this mission. And so they all got vaccinated. Some of them probably didn't want to, but they got vaccinated. And so Kyrie, on this front, has little credibility in that locker room. And while Sean Marks gave a press conference today, mm-hmm. and he stopped short of saying that Kevin Durant approved this or signed off on it, he basically said, you can ask Kevin his thoughts on it myself. I have little doubt that they didn't have Kevin Durant's thumbs up ratifying this, even if they're not going to frame it that way. Because Durant knows he had to make this decision as well.
So where do things stand? I mean, we wait for a Kyrie statement, or is there a point where he will be made available, or the Nets just cut ties with him and thus can't make him available? Like, literally, what is the next step on this sort of thing? Play basketball and then revisit it? Or he's going to CVS right now? I mean, like, what? You know what I mean? Like, what happens here?
He has two choices, really. He can't. Well, I guess he's got three choices. But, I mean, two viable choices. The first choice is to wait for the situation and the pandemic to improve. And perhaps this law in New York is nullified, released. Who knows? There is a mayoral election coming up, I believe, in November. There will be a new mayor. The Delta variant numbers are going down, knock on wood, but who knows if anything's going to change. But, I mean, in theory, he can wait it out. Or two, he could, I don't want to say eat crow because that sounds like he's some sort of, bad thing, but he'd have to get the shot. I guess he could also, three, just retire. But I don't think that's viable. But I will say this. Mm-hmm. When he says no to this, he's not just saying no to playing on this championship team. He's not just saying no to half of his salary, because he will not get paid half of his salary. He'll still get paid for the away games, even though they're choosing to make him inactive. But the Nets were prepared to give him a $160 million contract extension this offseason. This is not, I'm telling you, based on sources. The general manager, Sean Marks, when they signed Durant to a contract extension, said in August, we hope to have Kyrie signed by the start of camp. Obviously, he's not getting that contract extension right now. I don't know if he'll ever get it. And even if he was traded to another team, based on his decision-making and his focus, he's making a decision that he probably is never going to get that, at least for the time being. So
yeah.
He's put a lot on the line, especially financially, and also competing for this championship, to defend the way he feels.
ESPN's Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. And this was breaking news earlier Tuesday, Monday night. I'll share a text exchange, gents, that I had with Brian here, with Brian on the phone. When he was booked, I said, looking forward to solving the Ben Simmons problem with you on air. You responded, that will take 30 seconds. okay, so I'll give you the 30 seconds. Take more if you'd like, Brian.
Have you ever played poker? Do you know the game of poker?
I do very well. Yeah.
Okay. Ben Simmons made a bluff, and the 76ers called it.
And then
folded.
That's basically it, huh? He folded.
The game's not over. The hand is over, though. Game's not over. The hand is over.
All right, so we've moved the button. Now who's the dealer? Is that Daryl Morey's the dealer in this poker game now? Because does that mean that Simmons is back in the Sixers' fold, and thus they can give off the impression to the league that they're happy sticking with him, and now that makes him more, dollar on the dollar rather than cents on the dollar for a trade? Like, literally, what happens now, do you think?
Well, Ryan. Now let's see how the next hand plays. How is Ben going to play this next hand? Is he going to play it the Jimmy Butler way, where Jimmy Butler wanted to be traded, didn't get traded, so he came into training camp and was an a-hole, took the third team and embarrassed his other starters and basically served notice, and if you don't trade me, I'm going to continue to mentally dominate you? I don't see that in Ben's repertoire, but maybe he'll switch up his play. Will he report and play full-bore basketball and show his all-NBA form and, you know, lift his trade value? Will he claim injury? Or maybe he has a real injury, but that is an option here. You know, this actually turned into something you're familiar with, Rich. In fact, I called Mike Tannenbaum last week to get guidance on how football holdouts operate, because this turned into a football holdout. In the NFL, players' signing bonuses are held in escrow, which I guess is a relic of back in the days when the players weren't sure that the teams actually had the money. And if you wanted to put my money that I'm supposed to get in a year in escrow, if I want to make sure I'm going to get it. So as a result, when a player is holding out, which usually is a player who has a signing bonus, a high-level player, and he gets fined, they just pull the money right out of that escrow account so that the team can actually physically put it in its pocket. Well, Ben Simmons was planning on the Sixers following his contract, which is pay me a quarter of my salary on July 1st. They did, $8 million. Pay me the second quarter of my salary on October 1st, which would have been $8 million. And his first actual paycheck that he could have been fined in wouldn't have been until November 15th. So they could fine him $8 billion between now and November 15th. But as long as it was resolved on November 15th, he could negotiate his way out of it. That's the way the NFL used to do it. Sit out all of training camp, but you get your contract done as part of your new deal. It gives you back the fine money. But the NFL caught on to this, and they changed the rule so that once you were fined, you could never get the money back. And that is essentially what the 76ers did without getting clearance to do it. Instead of giving Ben Simmons the money that he was supposed to get on October 1st, they put it in an escrow account. This is something that's never been done before in the NBA, and I don't know for sure, but I would bet it was done as they looked at how the NFL handles holdout players. And so with every time that Ben Simmons didn't show for a practice or a game or whatever, they pulled money out of that escrow account. And so instead of him having half of his salary in his pocket, and then we'll figure it out by November 15th, now all of a sudden he only had a quarter of his salary in his pocket, and every single day he was watching money come out of that escrow account, and he reported. And I'd say that the 76ers won that round. And so let's now see Well, he do what NFL players do when he pushed back. As a result, NFL players like T.J. Watt, for example, they didn't hold out. They held in, report, and then basically don't play. Will, after seeing the Sixers act like an NFL team, will Ben Simmons act like an NFL player and hold in? That is the next round of this poker match we're going to watch.
Or he just gets traded. I mean, why hasn't this Code Red been ordered? Like, why is he still on this team? I mean, honestly, you got game one Friday, October 22nd in Philadelphia. That's their first home game. He'll be savaged once he steps on that court. We all know it. The whole world knows it. And whether, you know, kid deserves it or not, you know, I mean, how is this tenable at all moving forward, Brian? Right?
Well, because the Sixers don't like what they are going to get, are being offered right now. And again, let's go back to the poker analogy. The hands that Daryl Morey keeps getting dealt, he doesn't like. So he's throwing them away. He's throwing them away. And he's saying, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait for that team that was that general manager who knows he's got to make the playoffs or lose his job for his team to get off to a 500 start. He starts the season 8-8 or something. I'm going to wait for that team that has a major injury and needs a major trade. Or I'm going to wait for another star player who I may want to get angry with his team and demand a trade. So really, Daryl Morey is just kicking the can down the road. He doesn't like what his trade options are now. It's not really his prerogative at this point to make sure Ben is happy with the fans. I think he's just waiting for the situation to improve so his trade options improve. And it's kind of an important maneuver because if you look at the Sixers and where they are as an organization, they're in Joel Embiid's prime. They built a decade to get this team. They were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference last year before, you know, Embiid got hurt and Simmons, you know, went down the side of his leg in the middle of the playoff series. This is not a time to take a step back. And so he doesn't feel he can make a trade. It is a trade that what we call a four quarters trade. You take the dollar that is Ben Simmons and you trade him for four quarters because in the NBA, four quarters doesn't make a dollar. You wait where you can trade a dollar for a dollar. Now, does that work? Maybe not, but he knows it's not going to work today. The situation could change by November 20th or December 15th.
Last one for you, Brian Windhorst. That October 22nd home opener for the Sixers is against the Brooklyn Nets. What about Daryl taking Sean Marks aside and saying, yeah, you know, Philadelphia doesn't require vaccinated players to play indoors? And, you know, we think Ben Simmons would look pretty good over there. Let's swap our problems for each other. What do you think of that one?
Well, two things I'm going to say about that. One, we don't know for sure that Ben Simmons is vaccinated. We shouldn't assume that.
Okay.
But we also, a big factor here is that Kyrie, would he report after a trade? Number one. Number two, he has 1 year left on his contract. He can opt out after next season.
Oh, boy.
Now, at this point, I think he would be crazy to opt out. But if you're Philadelphia, you're not going to make that type of trade with a guy who you may be renting for a year. So while I agree on paper, it makes all the sense in the world. The Nets badly need perimeter defense. It would be terrific to get Ben Simmons. He wouldn't need the ball. They can let James Harden handle it. He can play off of it. It would be perfect. Kyrie can come in. Kyrie actually has a good relationship with Joel Embiid. Way, way better than Embiid's relationship with Ben Simmons. And the way they can play off each other would be terrific. It makes all the sense in the world. But there's so much else at hand that would be difficult in actually negotiating the trade, the actual mechanics of the trade, that I think it's hard to necessarily see, at least right now.
And especially if Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney suddenly, day after the trade, says, guess what? We have a vaccination mandate to play inside in Philadelphia now. And then that would blow that up, too. I mean, this is crazy, Brian. I mean, what a crazy world we're living in right now. And the NBA is right around the corner. I appreciate your two cents, as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich. Have a good day.
You bet. Drive safely. That's Brian Windhorst. Always makes us smarter. Always makes us think. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show from the Worldwide Leader in Sports. I'm just wondering if you're thinking of trading Kyrie, you call up teams in what, Texas and Florida, saying, because you know there'll be no mandates there.
No, definitely.
So, right?
I don't think that Pennsylvania would have one either for some reason.
I don't know. Philadelphia? I don't know.
That's one city in...
I know, that's all it takes.
That's all it takes.
So it's not a statewide mandate?
No, it can be a city mandate, New York City.
It's New York City. It's a city mandate.
Yeah. I wasn't sure.
It's a mandate. It's a mandate in San Francisco.
Right.
Yeah. So, and L.A. does, but I heard that it doesn't apply to Staples. I read that.
It's performers. And athletes are considered performers, performing arts.
So that means everyone has to, from the Lakers and Clippers must be vaccinated in order to perform in there, or no?
They can, but visiting players don't have to be.
Oh.
I
see.
Both of those teams are all fully vaccinated.
Yeah, so if you come in and do a concert, you don't have to, theoretically.
So like Eric Clapton could come perform in
LA. Oh, gosh.
But I think both Lakers and Clippers are fully vaxxed, right?
Well, that's an example.
No, you just chose one.
I chose a random example.
Understood.
Right, yes.
You chose one.
Layla, you got me on my...
What does Simmons do, man? Does he show up and then just...
yeah, because he's missing out on $360,000 a day.
Hamstring, ankle, and hamstring. Like Caddyshack. Ooh, my arm.
Oh, my arm.
It feels like it could be broken.
The whole putting the money in the escrow thing, that was just... Maybe you can explain that to me because I'm not really intelligent enough to figure that out. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I mean, he did a great job explaining it, but I'm still...
It means that you place it somewhere, like the money exists somewhere. It's not in your pocket, but it's somewhere for you to earn.
It's like buying a house.
It's like Bitcoin.
Right.
Oh, I'm kidding, Joe.
Yeah, so.
Proof of funds.
And I'm sure there are CPAs and bankers screaming at their radios right now exactly what escrow means. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Call us and tell us what escrow means so our ratings can plummet. We will take your phone calls. Let's talk a little baseball when we come back. I remember that sport.
You sure about that?
I remember that sport.
I don't.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O-O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Chase Claypool of the Pittsburgh Steelers will join us in hour number three of this program. Also in hour number three of this program, my four downs here on this Tuesday. Chris.
Yes, Rich.
TJ.
Yes.
I think you're going to like my fourth down a lot.
Is it?
You had a problem with my fourth down last week.
Is it going to be hot or what? I mean, we need something hot.
Is it,
it's a little cold in L.A. right now.
By the way,
we need it hot.
By the way, last night, Dodgers-Giants.
That was a baseball game.
It was a baseball game, but it was unseasonably cool. Even that warmest, the coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco. Yeah. That weather was in Chavez Ravine last night.
Yeah.
It was windy. It was chilly.
The Dodgers really should have tied the game in the bottom of the ninth. Well, the wind kept that in.
Well, they should have. They could have taken the lead in the seventh last night. Two men on, two men out, first and second, and a frozen rope screaming line drive that appeared to be, I don't know where the outfielders were positioned, because in 2021, you never know where they're positioned. Yeah, right. But that looked to be ticketed, as they would say, for the left center field gap off the bat of Mookie Betts if Brandon Crawford did not jump and leap and pluck that thing out of the air. One of the greatest straight, you know, like that, that would have, at the combine, that would have hit one of the top slats on the vertex, man.
Mookie's usually on the other end, like robbing
I know.
Home runs.
And that was the end of the inning, and it kept it a scoreless game. Definitely tie game. Definitely tie game. That ball hits, it gets past Crawford. Tie game. And you never know, with two outs, guy could have just been released from first. That could have been, if that hit the gap, that could have been a, that could have been a triple for Mookie.
Yeah.
And instead, the gambit that the Dodgers played at the trade deadline. Let's get Scherzer and the old, that was that could have been the Ocean's 11 line from Clooney. They get Scherzer and you know, Andrew Friedman of the Dodgers sits there and thinks this, go for it, Mike. You got that? Oh, you don't have it. I gave you a heads up.
He was
not ready. He's not paying attention.
I need one more.
There we go.
All right, we'll get one more.
All right, thank you very much. That was they get Trey Turner too, right? Everyone's like, they're going to get Scherzer. The Padres are going to get Scherzer. Padres are going to make the play for Scherzer. Oh, no, the Dodgers are going to get him instead. Oh, and Trey Turner too. And so Trey Turner, 0-for-4 last night. Scherzer outdueled. He gave up one run, just the Evan Longoria home run, 10 strikeouts, 7 innings. That's what they got Scherzer for. Hey, man, we're going to need you in a tie series, game 3, at home against the Giants. We're going to need you to go out there and win that game. How about I give up just one solo shot, strikeout 10 in 7 innings? Sold. Send it straight Turner, too. 0-for-4. He's batting 077 in the first 4 games of their postseason.
And he had an MVP-type regular
season. Yes, he did. So the Giants just keep sticking aside one after the other what the Dodgers are trying to dial up. Walker Buehler tonight, right? That's the beauty of the Dodgers. They'll just keep throwing Cy Young candidates out at you. But the Giants can close out the Dodgers in Chavez Ravine tonight. And Mazel Tov, it's Jocktober. Right, Chris? In your household?
It's Jocktober, the pearls, and all the good things happening.
Member of the tribe for the Braves.
It's all going down.
That's right. Member of the tribe for the Braves. And we're talking about the Jewish tribe. Jock Peterson.
Young Jock.
Did you not know this?
No.
Well, Mazel Tov to you. Now you know. You're now 1 minute old. Now no.
I love it.
He would be able to sign the greatest Jews in sports book that we have right here.
Where is that?
It's right next to me.
Yeah.
Ask a million questions.
Great Jews in sports.
Where you stay?
I don't know. This is too old. I don't think Jock Peterson's in here.
No, that.
As you know, Alex.
That's gotta be in the 90s.
Alex Bregman signed this book along with Jeff Schwartz. There they are. For the Peacock audience, you can see it. For the radio audience, I'll describe you. Each one of them have signed this book. And with the Star of David as well. Yes, indeed.
We need a volume.
Jeff Schwartz and Alex Bregman have signed this book.
What's the copyright on that, Dave?
Yeah. It's like old, man.
90s.
Yeah, right?
Well, the introduction's by Red Auerbach. So there's that.
Still with us at the time, I imagine.
Yes.
Yes.
Copyright 1983. Jock Peterson was not born.
I was a junior in high school. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Can we take it upon ourselves to take this book?
There's volume two. This addendum, this book, is including the index, is 331 pages long. Since 1983, they've added 8 pages.
Jock Peterson born in 92.
Yeah.
That's Jock.
Well, he'd be in this book now, I'll tell you that. At any rate, Jock.
Hey, Rich.
Homers, the Braves, the Bravos are getting ready to close out the Brew Crew, right?
Tonight.
And guess what?
Charlie Morton on the mound.
Congratulations to you. Hold on 1 second, if you don't mind. You can hop in a second.
This is going
to
be.
No, congratulations to you.
Well, how are you going to backhand me here?
How am I going to backhand you here?
He did it on Twitter. I knew what he's going to say. I mean, come on.
Rich, go. Come on.
No, I mean, I'm just.
You can't even have a straight face.
Do it, Rich.
I don't understand. I married into a family of Red Sox fans.
Okay.
Tom Werner is a friend.
Okay. But
I'm my buddy Jay Stefan, who's
fantastic.
You know,
all your friends from Boston.
All of them.
Continue.
No. Sully and Fitz. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Unlike the others that I mentioned, you stopped following baseball.
Of course. There we go.
And so I'm very happy for you that you're able to be out there and tweeting out photographs of Devers hitting 3-run bombs and stuff, and hashtag dirty water. You're back.
That's their hashtag. Like Red
you're
Sox.
Back. You're back.
Dirty well, I water. Said I was back you're last back. Week.
Oh, I must have missed that.
No, when we beat your team?
Yeah.
Yeah, got it.
Because I stopped following baseball, as I told you.
He knows nothing about the game.
And then I went from disliking intensely the Tampa Bay Rays version of baseball, which I hope would never wind up with a banner being raised. It's not now. But just when I started getting into them. You know,
just when you became a Rays. Oh,
so
man.
I'm sorry, Dick Vitale. It's a my problem. It's an MP, not a YP.
Hey, thank you, Dodgers.
But you got to be psyched, man. You got to be psyched.
Yeah. Stressful last couple of days.
Stop. Stressful. You're playing with the proverbial house money. You weren't supposed to be here.
It doesn't mean the games aren't stressful.
Of course. I understand.
Yeah.
So now you're sitting back and waiting for the winner of the White Sox. You'd love for my prediction that game goes five.
Yeah,
that series
goes
five.
We need some rest.
So it just, you know, it looks like, let's just say Houston wins.
Okay.
So as you know, I'm about storylines, right? I'm about storylines, and I'm about, you know, what people might talk about. Because, you know,
White Sox are already talking about it.
I'm with you.
I'm just wondering, you know, if Houston plays the Red Sox, what might be talked about other than you know, who's pitching against who and whatnot? What do you think might be front and center?
Well, it could be that had the Mets not beat Houston in 86, we could have had a Astros Red Sox World Series then.
No, I don't think so. Although Mike Scott on that Astros team kind of scuffed up those baseballs.
Yeah.
So you're getting warmer.
Okay.
With what might be talked about. Hope you're ready. You ready for that one?
Ready for what?
What do you mean ready for what?
Our guy was exonerated.
Exonerated.
Absolutely.
So we're good.
Our guy was exonerated
by being rehired by the team that felt his position was no longer tenable.
No, they were pressured by outside, you know, times that they had to do it thought they had to do.
So, Alex, what did you know?
I think we've talked about that. Let's focus on the game at hand.
No, I'm happy for you. You know what? I'm going to go positive. I'm going to go high bar. Okay. I'm going to hope the White Sox win for you.
Don't worry, Rich. It's going to be called the American League
and the great,
Cheaters.
And the great guy.
That's what the C stands for? The ALCS stands for?
Yep.
The American League Cheaters Series?
Yes.
Oh. I'm not happy for him, and I'll tell you why. After years of, like you say, Rich, water skiing behind yachts, right?
Yes.
Two decades, so as he and I talked about, of him just enjoying success in football and baseball and
Speaking
basketball.
Speaking of which, Tom Brady has spoken. We'll get to that soundbite in the next segment.
We finally get to the point where the Patriots have kind of fallen a little bit, so it would maybe humble Brockman. For the Red Sox to come up and win a World Series when he should be enjoying, like, the downfall of his sports fandom, it kind of bothers me a little bit.
By the way, also, Sox not supposed to be good this year. Supposed to be fourth place in the division. So
that's true.
Yeah.
You know.
He's supposed to be third or fourth.
No, that's supposed to be a bad year.
Hey, man. And then they've the Dahlbecks and Renfros and Vasquez. And
awesome. Kike came in as the
Kike Hernandez. If the Dodgers get sent home tonight by the Giants and Kike Hernandez is still playing for the Red Sox, that will be very difficult swallow, a Dodger Blue fan to swallow right here.
Every clutch hit this guy.
He's been terrific. No, he's a terrific baseball player. He's a terrific baseball player. And Schwarber was a nice move midseason.
Man.
He's playing well. And obviously Devers and Bogaerts back-to-back.
Devers is injured. Hit a bomb last night.
He said that it doesn't hurt when making contact. Right. It only hurts when he misses, which is, again, the same way I feel when I have takes on this show.
Right.
When I make contact, I feel
no
pain.
Feels great. No
but
pain.
When my take misses, I feel empty. So Devers and I are the same, except for that big ball of chaw in his mouth. And every single one of my fraternity brothers at the University of Michigan remembers the time when, as just to bring this all full circle, as I've got my book next to me here.
Did you try it?
Have I never told you the story of when I dipped?
I don't think so.
The greatest Jews in sports book sitting next to me here. I went to the University of Michigan, and it was the first time in my entire life at my fraternity house I ever saw anybody dip. Okay. You know, I'm not from a family of smokers.
Right.
Not from a family of tobacconists. I'm not, you know, I'm not from a skull or, you know, that pinch and cheek and gum is only the, I only saw the commercials growing up.
Man, okay.
I went to the commercials. You put a pinch between your cheek and gum. I knew that. Right. So I'm there. They're like, you got to give it a try. And I'm like, not a chance, not a chance. And they're all like, Eisen, you got to do it. So I decided to do it. Okay. Problem is I attempted to pack the tin myself.
Okay.
You know what that means?
Yes.
You snap it, right?
Yes.
And they try to teach me how to snap it.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen this. Yeah.
I think I know where this is going.
I would have.
You don't know where this is going. You do not know where this is going. And I cannot believe I'm sharing this story publicly because it was of my many embarrassments in my life. This is top five.
Oh, top five.
This is.
Look, Rich, you ate male pizza. And I don't mean a guy pizza. I mean
snail
pizza that
pizza,
was in
yes.
a mail to you.
Yes.
That's in my top five, not what?
Yeah, so,
no, that's in my top five, not proud moments. This is an embarrassing moment.
Okay. Okay.
It's the difference between embarrassing and not proud. So I grab the tin, and they're teaching me how to pack it with, you know, my index finger. You got to hold it and use your index finger to snap it. And so I grab it, and I snap it. And the tin pops open.
Oh, geez.
The tobacco, the chaw, flies up in the air and lands in my eyelid.
Oh, gosh.
Like, so it didn't land in my pinch between my cheek and gum. It landed in between my eyeball and eyelid.
Oh, okay. God, it burns.
And just burned like crazy. And my eyes shut. And they're like, now suddenly, I'm in need of medical attention. But the problem is my so-called fraternity brothers who have my back were all rolling around on the floor, breathing, hyperventilating for air because they were hysterical laughing.
As they should.
And I needed then to get some ice from the freezer and sit there. And that was the end of that. So I've never.
You tried.
Never. I tried. I attempted. A big offer. But like Moonlight Graham, that was it. My career was over, and I was off to bigger and better things to help others.
Not even one and done.
Yeah.
I was the Moonlight Graham of smokeless tobacco.
Well, if you've never had
attempts.
It, you should be thankful that you've never.
I'm never going to do it. Yeah, I see Devers, and I'm like, how does he do that?
It's disgusting.
What is that?
Well, what they do now is, Rich, they like... They take a whole pack of bubble gum.
Yeah.
They chew the bubble and they lay it out. They put the chaw inside it. Ugh. Roll
what do
it
mean
up.
They lay it out.
In.
Yeah.
Like a little rolling pin.
Like Play-Doh.
Yeah.
Like Play-Doh.
And then they put
like
it inside.
And their fingers are already filled with pine tar and all that crap.
They're baseball players. And they put the chaw in the bubble gum, wrap it back up in a ball, and put it back in their mouth.
I'm horrified. I'm legitimately horrified right now.
It's gross.
It's not.
Professional athletes, they're disgusting.
I used to, I told you guys, I used to work security at Three River Stadium, like, in the summers back in Pittsburgh, and so...
You swapped the yellow slicker for a referee outfit? Is this the same time that you were doing the Foot Locker?
It was around the same time, So, you know, after the game over, I'd walk Barry Bonds or Jeff Kent to the car, come back through the dugout. And in the dugout, you'd have bags of sunflower seeds and cans of dip and snuff, and so I would take them to give to my friends. But one day... If you're in Pittsburgh, you know Smithfield Street and Wood Street. Smithfield Street News waiting at the bus stop. I took a dip. And when I tell you that the entire world started to rotate, that nicotine hit my body I wasn't used to. And I'm in the middle of Smithfield Street, like just wobbling and like puked in a garbage can because I had no idea what that was going to do to me.
Well, I don't know.
Messed me up.
Who's more unhelpful in these two? Which would you guess is more unhelpful to be around when these smokeless tobacco incidents, which is the only way to call it, took place. My fraternity brothers, who I have already stipulated and told you, no help.
No help.
Or Barry Bonds and Jeff Kent. Quickly, you choose.
Bonds and Kent.
And I said,
and
Kent,
of all
I'm
the
sorry.
People to say that you're trying to help, Bonds and Jeff Kent.
I said Kent, and I met Jeff King. Okay, I'm sorry, Jeff good. King, former Pirate third baseman. Kent was just still in my mind for
King
that.
Had a nice
they Jeff were Dodgers
King,
teammates,
yes, not Kent.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
Just to clear that.
All right, Tom Brady has spoken. He's speaking earlier than usual this week because he's playing earlier than usual this week. The Bucs and the Eagles kick off a week number 6. Can't believe it. We're already 6 weeks into the league coming up. Mm-hmm. That's next, and your phone call is 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Okay, let's get to it here. Tom in Cleveland, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Tom? How are you?
I'm great, Rich. How's everyone doing?
How are you doing?
We're doing great here in Cleveland. Hey, I just wanted to call in and say I appreciate your comments yesterday about our Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Like, I know the fan base doesn't get as much media as attention as a Stephen A. Smith or another one of the big names, but I can tell you from a true Cleveland fan that bleeds brown and orange, we love Baker Mayfield. We want nothing to do with getting rid of him for anybody.
I agree with you. And, you know, because he's your guy and, you know, he opened the beer case, right, just a few
That's
games
right.
into his career. Snapped that losing streak, and ever since then it's been nothing but a steady ascent. Certainly you got the right coach now, and and you've got the formula where he doesn't have to throw it for 500 yards in order to win. I just find that, you know, I find that funny too. It's like, hey, he can't wing it around for you guys to win, and he came from the place where you wing it around in order to win. You know, like
you
his
know
big,
what?
Like his Big 12 shootouts.
Old, I've seen everyone from Ty Detmer and Tim Couch to
Please.
Charlie Fry and Brady Quinn, and I promise you, not a single one of them. We would rather have more.
Of course not. Exactly, and thanks for the call. Like his Big 12 shootouts with Mahomes never happened, right?
16 combined touchdown passes.
Dude, I watched him in the Rose Bowl. I watched him in the Rose Bowl against Georgia.
We were there.
That was an insane performance.
Insane. That game was unbelievable.
And the ball flies out of his hands. Like, we
Fire
saw
cracker.
At the combine. At the combine, when Fire we cracker. When Baker's throwing, it's just like, oh, okay.
Would you call him a T-shirt cannon? Or did I say
You
that?
Said he has an arm like a T-shirt
yeah.
cannon.
Boom. Boom. It does come out.
Yeah.
They just don't ask him to do it. And they didn't ask him on third down this past week, too, here in Los Angeles. Here's Baker's issue. With each passing game, like last night from Lamar and Josh Allen on Sunday. Lamar on Monday, Josh Allen Sunday. The whole country watched Josh Allen Sunday, Lamar on Monday.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah, Baker doesn't have those moments.
Those moments have not
yeah.
existed for him.
Yeah.
Well, where it's like game on the line, and here comes not only a game-winning drive, but a performance from start to finish that is just like, this guy's clearly the best on the field, and I know I said that with Mahomes on that field. Josh Allen was clearly the best quarterback on the field that night, and everything was working, and Lamar Jackson was down by 19, and he, again, it's not an exaggeration. 95% of the yards that the Ravens amassed on Monday night were due to either a throw or a run from and by Lamar Jackson. You take a look at the statistics in this game, that there were three other running backs who ran the ball last night. Tyson Williams, Devontae Freeman, and Latavius Murray. Those were the three people who ran the ball other than Lamar Jackson. Those were the 24 yards that those three guys amassed, were the only yards that were not due to something Lamar Jackson did last night. I mean, that is what you see, and you say, that's a most valuable quarterback. That's an MVP player, which the league has already bestowed upon Lamar in just year two. Those are the reasons why people look at Baker as less than. And I guess Baker's wife and I are kind of lockstep in this. His wife put on her Instagram stories, for all of you fans who are blaming yesterday's loss solely on Baker, wake up. Tells him to wake up. You truly don't know what you have, she also added. He never asked for recognition, continues to carry the weight day in and day out, despite the hate. This is true. And you say he doesn't ask for the recognition. He does those progressive commercials. Actually, kind of funny.
Yeah.
We're supposed to turn that down?
Paid a lot.
I'm, honestly,
people got mortgages, baby.
You know, like, Browns fans are like, yeah, you know what? We're always an afterthought. You even heard when a guy's calling and compliment me about my caping for Baker. Yeah, the rest of the world doesn't really give us that much attention. Corporate America is knocking on the door of the Browns quarterback. Did Spurgeon Win get offered a progressive deal? You know what I mean? Can I go down the list?
There's a lot of them.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if you have time.
So he's out there, and that's part of the cachet of the Browns. Let's just wait to see what he does against his division opponents this year. Those games are going to be lit. And part of the reasons why they're lit isn't just because of who's running the ball. Baker adds an it factor to a team that hasn't had an it factor in a while. Long while.
I have the list of quarterbacks.
They don't have to.
You want me to run down?
None of them had progressive deals. None of them.
Nope. You trying to say Cody Kessler didn't have one, Brockman?
Bruce Gradkowski wasn't doing State Farm?
Doc B did not, no.
Kelly Holcomb?
Wasn't
doing the general ads?
So,
general ads.
Yeah, I mean, that. But like Baker's issue, if there is one, is the fact that the quarterback taken after him had a good start this year, so Sam is now out. But the two after that is Allen, and the four after that was Lamar.
Right.
Lamar's already won an MVP. Josh Allen's on his way to one this year.
Hey,
you can't argue that. Come on now. I know you're a Cowboy.
I have numbers here that would make for a compelling argument.
No, and I know Dak has got it too, and he's making an argument. He's on the track too. Yeah. I'm not saying Allen is the MVP, but there's a handful that are on track. Baker's not one of them.
Seneca Wallace doing farmers.
Exactly. You don't see it. That never happened. So, yeah.
Connor
Wake up.
Shaw,
do you want any of these folks? I bet you the progressive commercials would be terrible.
Thad Lewis. On the beach.
Actually, he would do a pretty good
I resent the commercial. Fact that you said Jeff Garcia couldn't do a proper progressive commercial.
Ken Dorsey.
I mean, putting in the nachos cheese into the bags of the kids.
Yo, that was
and I think
hilarious.
That's his wife who's part of that commercial.
Yes, yes. Okay,
very good. Well, the Jake DeLone. Jake DeLone is not doing that.
No, they're not. They're not walking through that progressive door. So
Kevin Hogan.
You got eight more seconds.
Austin Davis.
So I think they keep making points.
Brandon
Manziel was the only one, I think.
Chase Claypool, hour 3. Tom Brady speaks coming up.